Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ in Woodbury. Now, here's Justin.
Thank you, Brother Dearman. Once again, welcome back to another installment of Reading the Word with me, Justin Reed. We are in the middle of a study that I have entitled, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. And we're examining that great invitation song, such an easy song to sing, to memorize, and to also learn many a things from it. We've already examined the first verse, which is also the title of the song, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. And now we're on the second verse, though none go with me, I still will follow. We've talked about how you have to have three things. You must have faith, you must have courage, and now we're in the middle of our third point. That is an attitude of gratitude. So if you wouldn't mind, we're going to read God's Word. And I'll be reading from the King James Version. And by the way, if you want to hear this lesson or any others in this series, they're all on my website, thejustinreedshow.com/readingtheword. That's thejustinreed, R-E-E-D, show.com/reading, R-E-A-D-I-N-G, the word. We'd love to have you enjoy some more installments in this series. When we talk about gratitude, I want us to examine a New Testament individual that is very prolific and important in the New Testament, and that's the Apostle Paul, because I tell you what, he had no gratitude problems. Join with me, I'll be in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23-27. 2 Corinthians 11, 23-27, where Paul says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, I am more. And labor is more abundant, and stripes above measure, and prisons more frequent, and deaths often. Paul says, of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. And Paul's here, he actually suffered 4 shipwrecks, but he only suffered 3 by the time he'd written this, when the last one happens at the end of the book of Acts. He says, a night and a day I've been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, and perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, and watchings often, and hunger and thirst, and fastings often, and cold, and in nakedness. Now, was Paul complaining? No. But Paul is also using this as an example, saying, look, I've gone through this. You can go through whatever you are going through. Let me ask you a question. Why was he willing to give up everything, including his life? Well, it's for gratitude. Plain and simple. That's 1 Timothy, chapter 1, verses 12 through 15, where Paul says, I thank Jesus Christ our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry, who before was a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord Jesus was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Paul says, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom Paul says, I am the chief. So, why was Paul grateful? Well, number one, because he said he was chosen of God. That's 2 Timothy 1 and verse 9, where Paul says, who hath saved us, called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. He was chosen of God. We also see in 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So why is Paul so grateful? Well, number one, because he was chosen of God. And number two, because God showed him mercy. FYI, God shows us all mercy. Romans 5 and verse 8, Paul says, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for you. Friends, he died for me while we were sinners, while we were going out and running exactly contrary to him. He died for us. We know the golden text, the Bible, as it's often been called, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Friends, Jesus put himself on the cross for us. Jesus put himself on the cross for Paul. Jesus put himself on the cross for me, Justin. And Jesus put himself on the cross for you, because you deserve it. Actually, you don't deserve it. But he loves you enough where you make you feel like you deserve it. So friends, what does it take for me to follow no matter what? Faith. Do you have faith? It takes courage. Do we have courage, friends? It takes an attitude of gratitude. Do we have that? Now, we started out our lesson last time looking at Peter when he denied the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though he denied him, he went on to serve God. In fact, he was a great leader in the early church. The first 13 or 12 chapters of the book of Acts are dedicated to the work that Peter does, mainly. And he even gave his life for Christ. We learn a very valuable lesson from this. Even when we mess up or we fall away, we still have ample opportunity to come back to God and to serve Him. Now, my question for you this afternoon, are you willing to be the only one who follows Jesus? Even if everyone else in the world is leaving you and forsaking you, and that includes people you know, that includes family members, that includes people you don't know, are you willing to follow Jesus? Friends, it is going to be worth it when we receive our reward. Keep this in mind. We sing a song, Just One Glimpse of Him in Glory will the toils of life repay. And I believe that to be true. Friends, have you decided to follow Jesus? If you have not, please consider doing so. If you have, are you willing to continue to stand with Him even though no one else around you is? If there's sin in your life, you need to make sure that is repented of, gotten away with, and you go and sin no more. Friends, seriously consider following Jesus and continuing to press on. We're going to have to pause our studies here. I'll do a quick little break. I hope you'll join us on the other side. We're going to transition to the third verse of the song, My Cross I'll Carry Till I See Jesus, here on Reading the Word.
Reading the Word with Justin Reed is sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ. The building is located at 99 Sally Parton Road at the base of Short Mountain, 6 miles off 70 on Short Mountain Road on the left. Join us for Bible study Sunday at 10 a.m., worship at 11 a.m. and 5:30 p.m., with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Thank you so much for sticking around with us as we're going to continue our series on I Have Decided to Follow Jesus here on Reading the Word with me, Justin Reed. And I do hope you'll come visit us sometime at the Wood Church Christ if that opportunity does present itself to you. All right, so we have talked about I have decided to follow Jesus. We've looked at the second verse, though none go with me, I still will follow. Now it's time to transition into the third verse of the song, where it says, My cross I'll carry until I see Jesus. We'll take our lesson text for this lesson from Acts chapter 22 and verse 4. Paul is writing. Paul says, I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. We see that Paul was not proud of what he'd done, but he'd done it nonetheless. As we're going to continue our series, as I said, we do come to the third verse. This verse is especially important for those of us who are Christians. It serves as a reminder of our lifelong commitment to God that we've made. So as we're looking at this very specific topic, it is often best that we look at the life of Paul as it relates to our life of service to God. There are three main areas that I want us to focus on for this one. And our first point in our study of My Cross I'll Carry Till I See Jesus and the life of Paul is that Paul had a life to live, just like we have a life to live. Friends, we all have a life to live. The question is, what will you do with it? Now, our purpose is to worship and praise God. We find that in Ecclesiastes 12, 13, and 14, where the wise man Solomon says, Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty, the whole job of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Friends, Paul's own confession back there in Acts chapter 22 and verse 4, where he says, I persecuted this way unto the death, this way being Christianity, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. Paul's own confession of what he has done. Now, I tell you this right now, Paul thought he was doing right. Paul thought, buddy, he was toeing the mark, walking the line, living faithful unto the Lord. But he wasn't. And Saul is a great proof that you can be sincere yet still be sincerely wrong. Friends, don't be sincerely wrong. Be sincerely right by submitting to God and His Word. I want us to look at some more verses, though. Acts chapter 8, the first four verses. Stephen has been stoned. He's the first Christian martyr. That happens at the end of chapter 7. Chapter 8, the Bible says, "And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." I like those last three words, because they were preaching the word. They didn't just say, "Oh, woe is me," but they went out. Then we jump ahead to the ninth chapter, and the first three verses of Acts. "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven." God knew that Saul was sincere in what he was doing, so God comes to Saul. Acts chapter 9 and verse 8, "Saul arose from the earth. When his eyes were opened, he saw no man." Now, he's just been talking with the Lord. "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Who art thou, Lord? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And so they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. Now, friends, here's something I want you to know, and there are many people in the world today that have this fact mistaken, but I'm telling you what the Bible says, and you can check it here in Acts chapter 9. Paul was not saved on the road to Damascus. Paul was not saved when God appeared to him, because if he was saved, then why was he told to go into Damascus and see a man named Ananias, and he will tell you what you had to do? Friends, he was not saved on that road. Ananias had to come into the picture. Paul had a life to live. Friends, we have a life to live. We must live this life. How are you living it? Are you living a life for Christ, or are you living a life for the world? That's point number one. Under the thought of, "My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus." Let's go ahead and continue. We don't have a whole lot of time left. We will pause. We will just break this point up when the time comes. Point number two, point number one, Paul had a life to live. Point number two, friends, we all have a cross to bear. In Acts chapter 9, verse 15 and 17, "But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me." Talking about Ananias. Or Ananias, he's talking to Ananias about Paul. "To bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel, if I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." Then verse 7, "Ananias went his way, entered into the house, putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus Christ, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost." Now, when Ananias calls him brother, he's not calling him brother in the spiritual sense, as we think of brother or sister today. He called him brother in the Jewish sense, because they were both Jews. Saul was about to become a spiritual brother, but he wasn't one yet. Friends, as long as we are on this earth, we will never have the home court advantage. Do you realize that? This is something that you desperately want in sports. I'm not a sports guy, but I can tell you this. You want home court advantage. Why? Because in golf, I used to play a little golf. You knew the course better because it's where you played and practiced. In basketball, boy, you know how the floor looks. You know how everything in there looks. In football, you know the field and the grass. And in racing, you know every turn, every twist. Why? It's your home course. However, friends, this world is ruled by the wickedness of Satan, and we do not have the home court advantage. Now, we will in heaven, but we will never have the home court advantage here upon this earth. Now, there are some things that Paul had to bear, and we will have to get to those next time when we reconvene for Reading the Word. Hope you'll join us next week. We will continue this thought of, "I have decided to follow Jesus, and my cross I'll carry till I see Jesus." Until then, may the good Lord bless you and keep you.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ in Woodbury.